We are so glad to see all of you folks who've come to honor your mother today. I don't know of a better thing. I don't know of a better thing that will help you personally than to show respect and honor to your parents. It is the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and your mother. Paul goes on and mentions you should obey your parents. That is so good to do. They've been where you haven't been. And they know some things that you don't know. And you don't know it until you get there yourself, and then you're kind of ashamed of yourself the way you treated your parents. Is anyone like that here? You don't want to admit it. All right, I saw some nonverbal amens. Watch out, watch out, watch out. Well, it is true. The queen of the home. We'll talk a lot more about this next week as we talk about how God built the family. But today we want to honor the queens in our lives. My mother's, my grandmother's, and now my wife continues to mother me, and I need them every one. I would not be preaching today if it were not for my mother and my two grandmothers who conspired against me. I wanted to farm. And they said, well, you can farm, but God's given you a gift and you need to use it for Jesus. And I've been doing that now for, if I make it a couple more weeks, for 59 years. Proverbs 31. I was preparing for a funeral. I did not know this particular lady that well. I had visited her as her minister, but she was bedfast the entire time I knew her. I had heard of what great works she did, all the Bible classes she taught, all the handwork she did, all the people she cared for, but when I knew her, she was bedfast. So I called together her family, as I often do, because they can help me preach a far better sermon honoring that person's memory than anybody else can. They know them, and they'll know good treats and bad. They'll know humorous things, and it's just amazing what you learn times like that. And as they were talking about this lady, one of the people spoke up, and she said, she was a Proverbs 31 woman. And that just said a lot to me. And as I look at this audience this morning, I know some of you very well, and I don't know some of you. I'm so glad that you came today, and I hope you'll come back. We're in a series of lessons for these troubled times. We want this lesson and the other lessons in this series be lessons of healing, help, and hope. We believe God has all three for us. And the biggest trouble we're in is because we've gotten too far away from the healing, help, and hope the great physician brings. What is a Proverbs 31 woman like? Let's look at this passage. This is a beautiful piece of poetry. If you read this in its original language, it's an acrostic. Every verse begins with another letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Translated into English, we miss all that. Some of the most beautiful poetry ever written is in the Bible. One of the great evidences of its inspiration and the beauty of God and His appreciation for beautiful things. Not only is in the creation and the beautiful flowers and the things you see, but even in the Holy Scriptures themselves. We don't know exactly who wrote this. The most often guessed name is Bathsheba, writing it to her son Solomon. Doesn't quite fit. Really, we don't know. But the truth of the matter is, from the very beginning, it was included as part of the canon. And there were very careful efforts, and almost you can see the finger of God guiding the collection of these holy scriptures. And as you read it, you'll feel the power of it. If you think about your mom, or if you are a mom, I want you to know that many of you in this audience are Proverbs 31 women. Now, usually women will say, oh, don't say that about me. Because we all know our shortcomings. But if you have a Proverbs 31 mom, I hope you let them know that while they're still living. But listen, one preacher says, dead noses don't smell roses. You need to tell them while they're living. And we'll get to that in Proverbs 31 as we talk about the queen of your home. And ladies, of course, there's always room to grow. That's why we come together. That's why we study the Bible. That's why you looked in the mirror before you came, and I'm glad you did. I did too. You ought to have seen what Patty had to see the first thing this morning. Makes me think of this young man. It was the wedding night, and then it was the morning after. And this was a few years ago, but he turned over, and there to see his lovely bride, he saw hair curlers. He saw white face cream. He saw one of those big bonnet things over all this. Now, she was a good singer. The young man grabbed the pillow, pulled it over his face, and said, sing! Enough of that. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now, my Bible has a footnote on this. It says a woman of valor. Often we hear in the Bible of a man of valor. What's that? That's a great soldier. Ladies, that's who you are. That's who you are. It takes a valiant woman to be a holy woman of God. And oh, I'm so blessed. I've been blessed with at least three of those in my life. And many more. Like Paul said, he had a lot of mothers in the Lord. And so have I. Her worth is far above rubies. By that he means you're priceless. You can't be bought. You don't do this for pay. Oftentimes on Mother's Day sermons, I'll get out one of those charts. They'll figure out what would it cost to hire what a mother does. And, of course, it's a billion zillion dollars. You know, you would add it all together, all the things they do. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Guys, do you have a wife you can trust? I mean, there's some bad women out there. There's some women you can't trust at all. I know some people, some of them closer to me than I wish they were, all they can pick out is bad ones. Solomon has something to say about that too, doesn't he? A beautiful woman without discretion is like a gold ring in a sow's snout. In Israel, I see some nonverbal amens on that one too. In Israel, you may remember when Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for Isaac, one of the first things he does is he puts a ring in her nose. Now today, when you get married, a lot of us guys feel like someone put a ring in our nose, but that's a little different than this. That was a sign of betrothal. You get married to one of these beautiful things that has no discretion, and you will pay. I didn't hear an amen on that one. But it's true. It's true. Go back and look at the lesson about Ruth we just had before this session, and you will see. We'll give you guys some recommendations on the kind of woman to find. I don't have time to go back in that, but she's a good woman all the way through. That's what you need. The heart of her husband safely. Listen, a woman. Now we'll get into this more next week, and maybe even tonight. Tonight's subject is. Husbands, listen to your wives. You want to do that? You'll learn God made in that woman some things you don't have. Come back tonight. Come back tonight. Anyway, the heart of her husband safely. Listen, a woman can make a clown or a king out of her husband. You hold his self-image in the palm of your hand. Brother Ivan North used to say, any woman can take a soup spoon and pitch more out the back door, he was talking about finances, than a man can shovel in the front door with a scoop shovel. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. And she will do him good. I'm sorry, I missed the line. And he will have no lack of gain. How you spend the money. We're going to get to that in this series too. Too much month and the end of the money. That's coming in June. We're going to talk about how to live reasonably in our society. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Oh, I saw this in Patty's family. Patty had Jenny Kersey, who was a grandma, lived right over here in East Nashville, and that woman, her husband was killed, I believe, at 45, Mama, in a car wreck. Patty still points out the light pole that the car hit, threw him out of the car and killed him right there on the spot. That woman lived to be 92, and she loved Jim Kersey as much the day she died as the day he died. She was faithful to him all her life. Cared for those kids and grandkids. Anyway, she'll do him good. Girls, it's not all about you. Mothers, you know it's not all about you. Don't you? Don't you? It's about the kids. It's about the family. It's about your husband. We'll talk about that a lot more, about what Eve was made for next week. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hand. When we had our first baby, now this is way back in the dark ages, I know. We still didn't even have Pampers. We had cloth diapers. Can you believe it? How we survived. And that doctor, he saw what a young, stupid guy she had. And he said to me, don't you let your wife do anything for 2 weeks. You get up and prepare that bottle for the baby. You wash those diapers. And the baby was born January 30th. It's cold in Missouri in January and February. And I still remember my fingers aching from hanging those wet diapers on the clothesline. I do that for 2 weeks. Can you imagine? And I'd get up and I'd warm that bottle up and I'd feed that baby. But you know, after 2 weeks went by, I never heard a child cry the rest of my life. That's hard work. I help her out a little bit around the house, everybody, and I'll complain. I'll say, man, a woman's work is never done. That's true. Because we're in such a mess. She has more than she get to. This woman works willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. Boy, isn't that the truth. And now, this was before Amazon. She don't have to go get it no more. It's at the doorstep. Have you seen these commercials where they have all those boxes stacked up in front of the front door? That's 270 Holt Hills Road. But she gets it all in there. They say this goes back into their nature. They were the gatherers. They would go out and for example, the Native American women would go out and they would gather the food. And all the men had to do was hunt and fish. I don't know whatever happened to that, but somehow it got messed up. But anyway, she would get, and now they go to Walmart and gather, and Kroger's and gather, and, yeah, no one, okay. Well, anyway, she gets all that stuff in there, like a merchant ship. She likes these little Volkswagen Beetles. And I said, sweetheart, it wouldn't hold your purses. She needs a minivan. Brings it in from afar. And she also rises up yet while it's night. Well, she was up before I was this morning. How about your wife? And she provides food for her household. She looks ahead. She plans. You don't eat by accident. And a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. And from her profits, she plants a vineyard. I love the story of Jenny Kersey, Patty's grandma. She talked about growing up poor. in the cotton country. And her husband was a sharecropper. And she wanted a baby bed for her first baby. They didn't have any money. And she asked her husband, and he got permission from the landowner if they could grow cotton in their yard. And Jenny planted that cotton. She picked that cotton. She sold that cotton. And she got enough money for her baby bed. That's the kind of woman she was. Till the day she died. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She went and worked out at the gym. She kept herself strong. Have you figured that out? You can keep yourself strong and make yourself strong if you want to. And because this woman is so driven, God has put something in her. She is so driven to care for that family that she will stay strong to help them be strong. Years ago, I heard this from another minister. Actually, I read it in an article written by Richard Rogers about a tribute to his wife. He says, a woman has a lot of heart. In fact, she gives her heart. When her husband runs out of heart, she gives him hers. She does. She means to be strong. She means to be helpful. She means to make a difference. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Ladies, many of you have done a good job. I know my wife worries about, oh, the house is a mess. She's done a good job. You're doing a good job. Oh, but all these things I haven't got, that's all right. That's all right. Her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand takes hold of the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Do you know the most generous people in the world are older ladies? I was in a meeting one time for 501c3 corporations for the presidents, because I'm president of two, Church of Christ Disaster Relief and Adventures with Jesus Ministries. And both of them live only on charity. This man said, your most generous givers are older women. She cares. People touch her. She sees these hungry little children or malformed children on the TV, and some of you ladies are brought to tears, aren't you? God put you, made you that way. Be proud that you care. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. How many mothers have gone without so their children could have? Show me one that hadn't. I was doing a funeral. I was telling you about how I'd asked people about things about folks who've died and that I could properly pay a tribute to them. And this one came up. This lady, I knew her very well, but I didn't know this side of her life. It was before I came along. She was a deacon's wife in the Tuscum congregation. And some of you might even guess who she was. I don't know. But I would never have guessed this about her. I learned it at her funeral. Earlier in life, her first husband, they'd had these children, and he left her. And she was in a dire situation, a lot like Ruth. We studied about that earlier today. She just couldn't hardly make ends meet. In fact, one time she was having so much trouble with that one of the congregations gave her money. And oh, it hurt her to take it. She never asked, but they knew how needy she was. And later on, a fine man came along and they met. And he was a good church-going man, and he married her, and he knew she had been struggling, and he says, you'll never have to struggle again, and she didn't. You know the first thing she did? She paid that church back that had given her money years before. First thing she did. And then one of the most precious things about this woman who'd raised those kids alone, one of the children said, and we never knew we were poor.
We never knew it.
She extends her hands to the poor. She reaches out to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes tax receipts for herself. She looks nice. She means to. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. That's expensive stuff. Her husband is known in the city gates. He is a leader. That's what that means. The city gates, that was like city hall. Her husband is a leader. And you know what? What made that behind every successful man? You've heard that, haven't you? There's some woman griping. No, there's some woman that's encouraging. That's what it is. And he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen garments and sells them and supplies the sashes to the minister, to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. Some of the most beautiful people are not the young ones 20 years old. It's the ones 50 and 60 and 70 years old that, though maybe the skin is wrinkled, Lil Ellie, we were hoping she'd be here today. She's not. She's about five, our youngest granddaughter. And one day, I don't even know how this came up, but I think I'm the one that brought it up. I'm usually the one saying something ornery. I said, we were watching something and Miss America was on there, and I said to her, I said, could Nana be Miss America? She said, no, but my mama could. I said, well, what's wrong with Nana? Wrinkles. You know, wrinkles can be beautiful because you look past the wrinkles and you look into the eyes and you can see the love and the godlike character that's in that life. Yeah, the face you have when you're 20, God did that. The face you have in 40 and 60, you had something to do with. Are you closer to Jesus today than you've ever been? We all need to be, because we're getting closer to the time we're going to face Him. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. See that optimism charging into the future? She has help. She has healing. And it's from God. Makes me think of my second daughter, the difficult one. I was preaching in Huntington, West Virginia. It was in the 80s, just about this time this women's lib thing broke out. And they'd had a youth activity, and my kids were there, and that was Saturday, and now it's Sunday morning. We get to church there early, just like we do here. And I go into the men's restroom. And here is this banner, this poster, and there's one stuck over every urinal. I don't know, should I say that in service? But anyway, stuck over every urinal. And here's what it says. After God made His experimental model, He made His perfect person, woman. I grabbed those things, I ripped them. I went to the other restroom. Do you know that kid had put one of those in every restroom? And I just knew she did it. And I called her in the office. Tammy, do you know anything about this? Said, oh, yeah, Dad, isn't it cool? I said, you'll get me fired, girl. We'll talk more about that tonight, guys. Why we need to listen to the woman. He put something in her he didn't put in you. And it shows in motherhood tremendously. And in other ways, in wifehood. We'll talk about that. Strength and honor are his clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. In Proverbs, you will find you should listen to your mother. Listen, she has your good interest at heart, your best interest at heart, more than anybody else. I'm not saying she can't be wrong, but you'll be wrong more often than she will. I'll just tell you. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She loves you. Even when she whipped you, she loves you. She's whipping you because she loves you. She's reminding you because she loves you. She watches over the ways of her household. You see, the heart of the home is in mom. You'll see families as time goes by and daddy goes on, that family will stay together around mother oftentimes. Grandma, great-grandma. But when she's gone, something happens to the cohesiveness of that family oftentimes because she's the glue that held them together. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now listen, folks. The Holy Spirit is going to give you a cue of what you need to do today. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Don't wait till she's dead and gone. Your tears then of regret that you did not tell her how much you loved her will not help you one bit. Do you know one of the things that makes grief especially difficult? When you know you did them bad and you can't say I'm sorry. Say it now if you need to, please. It'll help you. It'll bring help, healing, and hope for you. You might even set an example in front of your kids where they'll remember to tell you thank you. Your husband also praises her. Guys, are you listening? We're talking about listening to your wife. Here, he's going to give you a script. What's he going to say? I remember doing that. We were visiting a preacher's home. I don't know why this came to me right now, but it did. We were visiting a preacher's home. My kids were small, and this particular family was out in the country, and they had made us a big old breakfast, and they had the best biscuits, I guess, I've ever eaten. And anyway, I don't know why I turned to my son, John, and I said, John, what do you say about this breakfast? Got any more biscuits? No, that's not what you're supposed to say to her. Many daughters have done well. You got your line down, guys? Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You remember Snow White? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest? There you go. In your eyes, there's no one more beautiful than your mother. Guys, in your eyes, there must be no one more beautiful to you than your wife. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Now listen, girls, listen to you young ones, you pretty ones, listen. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. Passes fast, doesn't it? Things change. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I want to read this to you before we close. The bravest of battles that ever was fought, shall I tell you where and when? On the maps of the world, you'll find it not. 'Twas fought by the mothers of men. Nay, not with cannon or battle shot, with the sword or noble pen. Nay, not with eloquent words or thoughts from the mouth of wonderful women or men, but deep in walled up woman's heart, of the woman that would not yield, but bravely, silently bore her part. Lo, there, that's the battlefield. No marshaling troop, no bivouac song, no battle to gleam and wave, but all those battles that last so long from boyhood to the grave. Yet faithful still, has a bridge of stars. She fights in her walled-up town, fights on, and endlessly wars, then silent, unseen, goes down. Oh, ye with banners and battle shot, with soldiers to shout and praise, I tell you, the kingliest victories fought are fought in these silent ways. Girls, thank you for what you bring to us. Thank you for what you bring to our city. Thank you for what you bring to the church. Brother Ivan Norris said, if it wasn't for the work of women in the church, it would collapse. It's true. If it weren't for the work that you do in homes, the home would collapse. One of the greatest ills of our times is broken homes, broken promises, broken dreams, people who are too selfish to give of themselves as they need to. But you know the greatest gift you did not give. The greatest gift was given by God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came saying, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But Paul comments in Romans chapter 5 that God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet ungodly, Christ died for sinners like you and me. Before he left this earth, he told his disciples, go into all the world. And that's what we're about here today. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. And he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And he who does not believe will be condemned. You can't have a Christian home. We just sang the song, Rick. God give us a Christian. You can't have a Christian home unless Christians are in that home. Friend, let me ask you, are you a Christian today? Have you ever turned your life over to Jesus? Now, Paul makes it real plain in the book of Romans, chapter 3, that all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That means everybody needs to come to Jesus. And if you can't put your finger on a date and a time when you surrendered your life to the Lord and you did what Jesus said, where you believed in him and turned away from sin, confessed his name and was buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins and began walking hand in hand with him every day, you need to do that this morning. You can't have a Christian home without Christians. So as we sing our invitation song today, it's an invitation to you. Maybe you're not ready to be baptized. Maybe you would just like to know a little bit more about what it means to be a child of God. We'll be glad to help you with that too. Won't you come while together we stand to sing?